Hi.
How you doing?
Fine. This picture illustrates Jesus, what he did for you. He's God. Jesus Christ is God. Now, many people think that he's just a man and that the Bible is just the work of man. But a good God would have communicated to his creatures, and that communication is found in the Bible. And Jesus died for you according to the Bible. It was written down before the event, so you know it came from God. And he did that to get your heart, get your affections.
Are you a preacher?
Yeah. I'm not a pastor of a church, but I'm a preacher.
What division?
I'm a Bible believer, and I attend a Baptist church because I believe the Baptist is closest to the Bible.
Okay.
Now, what are you?
I'm a Methodist.
Well, okay, so now, if you died tonight, do you know 100% for sure where you'd go? And where would you go?
I'd go to heaven.
Why?
I have been saved.
When did you get saved?
I've been saved several times. I had a couple of Baptist congregations when I was baptized.
Yeah. So your understanding of biblical salvation by what you're saying is defective. Because when you get saved, it's an eternal salvation. You can't lose it, and you can't. So obviously, you couldn't have gotten saved more than once. So if I got eternal life as a gift, the gift of God is eternal life. If I get the gift of eternal life, that's being saved.
Yeah.
Or now, if I get it, I wouldn't need to get it again, otherwise it would have just been temporary life or term life.
Right, but, okay, I was saved once and then I just went through it.
Well, what did you do to get saved the one time you got saved?
Well, I was baptized.
Well, all that did was get you wet.
Well, yeah.
See, so baptism doesn't ever save anybody.
Right.
Unless it's the baptism of the Spirit, where the Spirit of God... What baptism does is it illustrates an eternal or a spiritual thing that happens. In other words, what baptism illustrates is that the Holy Spirit comes in and he baptizes you or immerses you into eternal life.
Right.
The gift of God is eternal life. So water baptism just illustrates that.
Okay.
It doesn't have anything to do with doing the real thing. So now, when did the real thing happen to you? What was this thing that saved you? What did you do to get saved? Well, he's talking to me right now. Are y'all together?
Yeah, we're together.
All right, okay.
Let me ask you what?
All right. Y'all, you mind if he interrupts?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I mean, us just being out here, what's wrong with that? Because we're not drinking or doing drugs or engaging in any kind of... Matter of fact, we're not even going to any of the bars. We're just kind of walking up the
bar.
I know what you're getting at. I'm a church-going person myself.
Yeah. Well, did I condemn anything that you're doing?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
All right. So what we're doing is we're using this public event as an opportunity to talk. Now I personally believe there's lots of things wrong with this that a saved person wouldn't find any pleasure in. But if you are saved, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So even though you're not actually doing the things that you think are wrong to do, you're still here fellowshipping with those that are doing them. And so
you're saying being here is around evil influence is a bad thing?
Well, the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think there's anything wrong with going to a baseball game?
Well, you know, the way the bumps and the grinds are done at all the sporting events,
I mean, just morally speaking. Just going to a game.
You know, I mean, I might go to one sometime, but I don't really usually, you know, I haven't been to any of these bad things.
I'm getting that. The question is, going back to stuff, would God be here?
Yeah, right. Do you think he would be here?
No, but I don't think he would be at a baseball game either. Well, that doesn't make a baseball game wrong.
No, the thing that makes the baseball game wrong is what's done at the baseball game. The girls doing the bumps and the grinds and the...
But what if we're not engaging in that? Like, what's being done?
You obviously can't engage in it because you're not a girl. So,
he gets there.
Now look here. He says, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Like you said, you're questioning the ball game and that you're trying to find what's acceptable unto the Lord. And now here's what I say about that. If there's not some spiritual and redeeming purpose for you going to a ball game, like to have some fellowship with your family, your son or your father or something like that, you know, where you're just doing some family time, things like that, and if you can control your thoughts and you can find out what's acceptable by what is God, does God's Holy Spirit convict you for what you're doing? Now then he says, once you've proved what's acceptable, then he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So you've judged by finding what's acceptable unto the Lord. You've judged and you found the Holy Spirit, the Bible, through the Word of God, it's laid on to you convictions that show you what's acceptable. And then the next thing is that you when you find out what's not acceptable, then you, instead of doing it with them, you have no fellowship with them. That you reprove them from that point forward. Now the first thing though is that you got to be saved before any of these things really make any difference at all. If you're not saved, what difference does it make?
Oh man,
are you saved?
I was baptized, but I try to live.
Yeah.
But
were you saved?
I messed up occasionally.
Well, what did you do to get saved?
I followed the simple steps. I've heard, believed, baptized.
Okay, well, at what point were you saved? Which one of those things saved you?
When I declared Jesus Christ as my one and
13.
Only.
About 13.
Oh, well, I mean, at what you said you followed the steps. Well, which one of the steps was it that where you got saved?
Well, it's all five of them.
Yeah, far away from it.
Not just one.
So, are you saying that water baptism is essential for salvation?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what the Bible teaches or says. Either one. The Bible says to be saved, it's an issue of faith. See, it's an issue of, so if it's an issue of faith, it can't be an issue of baptism. So
it's commanded that you be baptized. So if you're breaking commandments,
but not for salvation.
Well,
look here. This is what Paul's commandment from Jesus Christ was. Paul is given his testimony. It's at midday, O King. I saw a light from heaven about the brightness of a sun, and he goes on and tells his story of Paul's conversion. And he says, this is what Jesus commanded him to do, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He didn't add baptism as an essential part. In other words, if I was going to tell you to go do something that was eternally important, and I left out the most important part, I would have been telling you the wrong thing. And that's exactly what...
That's just one section, though.
Well, I mean, look, I haven't got time to go through all the Bible with you, but there are lots of sections. There's, you know, I'm not going to say there are thousands, but there, as far as salvation is concerned, the Bible says in a book that deals with salvation, he says he didn't add baptism to salvation. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord and is baptized.
It also says those who believe and are baptized.
Yeah, but
before.
Yeah, well, the baptism there isn't necessarily the baptism of water, though. See, there's more than one type of baptism. Jesus looked at Peter and said, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And Mark 16:16, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Which kind of baptism is he talking about there? He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God's baptism. See, the Holy Spirit of God immerses you into Jesus Christ by faith. And that's the baptism that he's talking about there, not water.
So how do you think you get in contact with the Holy Spirit without being baptized?
By faith. You are sanctified by faith. Let me answer your question now, okay? You say, this is in Acts chapter 10, and Peter was preaching, and all the prophets gave witness. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now, so here's a place where the Holy Ghost, hey, Mark, how you doing? The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. So would God have given the Holy Ghost to somebody who wasn't saved? Okay. Now, when they heard them speak with tongues, so they heard them speak with tongues. And then what happens? Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? So they were saved before they were baptized.
Okay, well, say for instance, for argument's sake, that it's not essential. Say it's just an act of faith.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you want to do it?
Why would you want to get baptized?
No, I mean, why wouldn't you want to do it? Even though it's not essential, why wouldn't
okay,
you do
that's
it?
Exactly, that's a good question. The reason that you would is because it shows to the people around you that you've chosen to identify yourself with Jesus Christ. But it wasn't part of your salvation. It was part of your discipleship.
So you're saying you just have to believe and then hear and repent.
I'm saying that forgiveness comes with Jesus Christ. Now, he says he came to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. You see, salvation, forgiveness of sins, was Jesus' commandment to Paul, was to tell them that they would be sanctified by faith without the deeds of the law.
The only problem with that is, if that was the case, then you would have everybody pretty much saved, because everybody pretty much believes in God and asks for forgiveness.
But it's not an issue of believing in God. The devils believe in God.
I mean, believing in asking for forgiveness.
Well, but they, you know, you could
take an extra step to be baptized.
Asking for forgiveness is not what brings salvation either. He didn't say, he said, by faith that is in me. You see, it's by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. You can believe in God, but that's not biblical salvation. You can believe that God exists.
Maybe it's a difference in our gospel.
Well, it's a difference in what, and I believe what the Bible says.
What?
All I'm doing is...
What, you belong to a certain kind of church? Or?
I go to a Baptist church.
Okay, well, see, I'm Church of Christ.
Yeah,
and I always thought we were pretty similar.
No, we don't have any confidence in the baptism as being essential or part of the salvation experience. You see, in First Corinthians.
So when it says immersed in the blood of the Lamb, you don't think that's talking about
It's not talking about water. There's no water
there.
You think
the water is symbolic of the blood of the Lamb?
The water is not symbolic of anything except that you're identifying yourself with Jesus Christ. See, looking here in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring nothing to understanding of the prudent.
Were you baptized?
He says, Paul says, I baptized also the house of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize. If baptism was essential for salvation, then why would... See, I showed you the verse where Paul said that you are sanctified by faith that's in me. If Paul was not sent to baptize, then nobody would be getting saved that Paul talked to.
Okay, but you can't baptize somebody without first telling them about the word. That's the natural progression.
But when you connect baptism to salvation, you're saying that you have got to do something to be saved. You're saying that your baptism, what you did, is essential for your salvation.
Well, not alone. If I didn't hear and believe and repent and confess, my baptism wouldn't mean anything. But you have to do all five steps and then live.
But then live, you see.
Yeah.
So you're counting on all the things that you do.
Hey, it's Ken.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, Ken, how are you, man? You're getting old, dude.
I am. I'm almost...
Golly, man, you're getting closer to the promised land every day.
Oh, it'd be wonderful. Amen.
My Lord.
What you been guys been doing?
Just same old thing, man. Just
look at 63 here.
We're looking for you,
it's
man.
The spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, what he's saying to you right there is it's the spirit.
Yeah.
It's the spirit that quickeneth. That gives you life. You know, like you stick something under the quick of your... See, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. What he's trying to tell you right there is what you do does not give you life.
Right.
It's what the Spirit of God does for you that gives you life.
Right.
And when you say that you're going to add to your salvation, you're living it, then you're saying that what Jesus did first wasn't good enough, and that second, that it depends on your life for the rest of your life whether you get life. Because you can't know for certain that heaven is your home as long as you're dependent on you living it from here on out.
You're telling me once you're saved, you're always saved.
I'm telling you that salvation is what Jesus does for you. And he gives you the gift of eternal life.
Do you think that once you're saved, you can fall away?
Well, no, you know, he says, look, and this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. Did I earn it?
Well,
it was given to me. What? How long was it?
Forever.
Eternal. Okay, so if I get the gift of eternal life and I lost it, it would have been term life. Now, so if you get eternal life, you get it when Jesus Christ comes into you. He's eternal. And his eternal gift gives you a salvation that lasts forever. So you cannot lose something that you didn't earn. But as long as you think that you earn it, then it's something you do. And he said it's the spirit that quickeneth.
Hey, Ken, are you
letting
him off this stuff yet?
Hey,
call me sometime. My name's on, phone number's on there. Do I make any money off?
Are you making any money yet?
It costs me lots of money to come down here.
I've been down here.
We haven't seen you since September, man.
I haven't seen you in like a long time.
Well, September 11th.
We had a revival in our church.